While we're on the break, Scott looked up the state of female genital mutilation, and it's one of the world's darkest secrets. In Egypt, which the United States supports, in fact, the United States pays for about 90% of the cost of the Egyptian military, which controls Egypt entirely. 99% of Muslim girls are sexually mutilated by their mothers. The propensity of sexual mutilation in Egypt is at about 91% because 91% of Egyptians are Muslims. And it's that way really throughout Africa and the Middle East. But it is difficult in the Islamic world to get accurate information because there's no free press. So you really have to look at, okay, where have Muslims congregated where there is a free press? Well, England is one of those places. So the National Health Service in England, their current figures show that 467 little girls were newly identified as needing treatment in England last month alone after female genital mutilation. So 467 in 1 month in England isn't the number of little girls mutilated by their mothers sexually. It's the number of little girls who were so badly mutilated by their mothers, they required hospital treatment after the mutilation in 1 month. This religion is so much more deadly than Ebola. It's so much more destructive than Ebola. It's so much more contagious than Ebola. That it is astonishing that the world is so fixated on Ebola and is not willing to quarantine Islam. 467 little girls in England, for crying out loud. In England. Last month alone, were so badly savaged by their Muslim mothers, they required hospital treatment. And the world supports this religion? You've got Cameron of the UK apologizing on behalf of Islam? When this is happening, 467 in 1 month? If it happened to one in the name of the religion in the UK, it would be a crying shame. If it happened to 40 over the course of a year, it would be a catastrophe. 467 little girls mutilated so badly by their mothers that they required hospitalization in the name of this despicable religion in the UK alone? Good grief.
That's just in the UK. That's just in the UK.
Of course.
What's going on in the UK
that required hospitalization. The last thing these Muslim mothers wanted to do after mutilating their daughters is to have the hospitals have to treat them. And if there's 467 that required hospitalization after being sexually mutilated by their Muslim mothers, how many do you think last month were mutilated? 10 times that number? The epidemic of Islam is the most deadly and destructive and demeaning thing ever perpetrated in humankind. And it is especially demeaning to women. This is why when Harrison Mayer exposed Islam in front of a liberal and said the hypocritical nature of liberalism in America is that women are grossly mistreated under Islam and they don't give a damn. And so what did the liberal do in response? Well, that's unfair. That's racist. That's not nice. You can't say that. Damn the facts. Ben Affleck, the blood of these 467 little girls last month alone in England alone that required hospitalization because their mothers mutilated their genitals. You should go take a bath in it. Why don't you? Why don't you take the blood? Write a sign. Put it on your forehead. I support this. Every liberal in America, you should have your head examined. You've lost your way morally. You're a complete hypocrite. A further 1,279 people who had already been identified were receiving treatment, according to the Health and Social Care Information Center data last month. It's not just that 467 needed hospital treatment after their Muslim mothers mutilated their genitals, but a further 1,279, making it over 1,700 little girls in 1 month in one tiny country that's not an Islamic country that has, what, 5%, 6% of the UK is Muslim. It's a small country as it is. And it's a tiny, tiny minority. 1,700 in a month. It's the first time the National Health Service has collected figures on the Criminal Act. The first time they collect the figures is 1,700 in a month. The children's charity, the NSPCC, said the numbers were shocking. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to do the right thing? Are you going to go to the heart of the matter? Are you going to deal with the fact that Islam is abusive of women?
I think this would be a pretty easy thing to figure out, too. Once you look at all the cases, figure out what were the similarities in these, and then say, okay, there's probably something there. Like, yeah, if you actually cared.
There's going to be 100% correlation between Muslim and little girls having their genitals mutilated. And even if there was an 80% correlation, and it'll be 100.
99% of these cases involve a Muslim. Okay, so boom, right there. I should tell you everything
right
you
there.
Know. If I want to eliminate 99% of these, I have to change one thing. So
yes, quarantine Islam. You've declared in England female genital mutilation illegal, a crime. So why wouldn't you declare the religion that inspires this crime illegal? Why wouldn't you do it? Why wouldn't you recognize that the most merciful thing you can do for next month's 1,700 little girls is to declare Islam illegal? Isn't that the only way to stop it? Is there any other way to stop it except stopping the motivation for it? Now, why do Muslims mutilate the genitals of their women? The reasons are severalfold. One is that a woman exists to pleasure a man, not for her own pleasure. She exists as a sex toy for a man. And in Islam, women are not loved, they're conquered. And so providing a woman with pleasure as part of making love is not in the mindset of a Muslim. Second, they don't want Muslim girls engaging in sex before they're sold off as wives. A, because it makes them more valuable to their parents to sell them. And second, if they engage in any premarital sex, the father and mother will go off and kill their daughter. So this is to make sex unpleasant so that the little girl, as she grows older, won't have any interest in sex. Because in Islam, even if she is raped, She is the guilty party, and her parents will kill her, even if she is the victim of rape. That's the reason. It's to demean women. It's to make sure women recognize that their role in the Islamic society is to be a sex toy for a man. Muhammad said that the bodies of Muslim women belong to the men. The cutting of girls' genitalia has been illegal in Britain since 1985, but nobody has been convicted in the courts. Why? Because Britain is afraid to confront Islam? Because they're afraid to hold Islam criminal? Because that's what you're going to have to do.
We talked about a video, the John Stewart video, the other day. And in that, he said that he came as close to condemning it as he possibly could and still keep his job. To where he said, you know, if this is something that is so against their special sacred religion or whatever, then why aren't more people coming to fight against the ISISs, the Al-Qaedas, and that of the world? Why aren't they?
There are Muslims that are fighting against the Islamic State. They'd be Shia Muslims. And there are Muslims that are fighting against Shia Islamic terrorist organizations. They'd be Sunni Muslims. They're at war with each other. But there is no Muslim that has any credibility in the world that is denouncing jihad. None. That's the reason they don't speak against
it. Shouldn't they be coming out and saying something against this? But that's what I'm saying. The fact that they're not doing that, the fact that they're not stepping up and coming out against stuff like this and saying, hey, look, this is wrong. This is nothing.
No, because their religion says it's right.
But that's my point, is that if it wasn't part of their religion, somebody would be coming out and
saying,
they'd
be denouncing it. They're not denouncing it. The reason they're not denouncing it is because in Islam, women are property. To be owned and abused and used by men. And women mutilate their own daughters because they have bought into the religion. They want to make sure that their own daughters suffer just as they did. It is such a debilitating religion. Can you imagine growing up a Muslim girl knowing that your own mother mutilated you in the name of the religion? It's just a living hell, and we continue to allow it. By the way, for those who are listening to this program, either live or via the archives, Scott's Facebook presentation of the show is continuing to grow. You'll find it at Facebook/Shattering Myths. And the articles that we're discussing now are posted. A link to IQR Rasuli's books and websites is made available to you there, as well as the ability on that page to communicate your ideas and comments and questions. So we encourage you to go to facebook.com/shatteringmyths. Continuing to discuss this consequence of Islam, consequence of our tolerance and support of Islam, of the Obamas of the world, of the Camerons of the world, of the Ben Afflecks of the world. The estimate now is that 170,000 women and girls living in the UK have undergone female genital mutilation. 170,000. In July, a group of ministers of parliament said that failing to tackle the female mutilation, the female genital mutilation crisis was a national scandal, and that blamed a misplaced concern over cultural sensitivities for inaction. What they're saying is, yeah, because it's a religion that motivates it, and we're so paralyzed by political correctness that we'll allow 170 little girls to be sexually mutilated. I mean, rape is bad. To be sexually mutilated by your mother? I mean, there are things worse than rape. There are things worse than pedophilia. This is permanent. It's being perpetrated by your own mother. I'm not sure there is a more disgusting act in the world than female genital mutilation. And it's an Islamic consequence. I mean, can you imagine if, what is the UK, 70 million people? I'm guessing here. That would, it's one fifth the size of the United States. If we were to take five times this number, it would be very close to a million Americans. Can you imagine if a million Americans were permanently scarred by Ebola? What our response would be to Ebola? If a million Americans were permanently scarred by it. And yet, everyone yawns. Don't want to talk about it, because to talk about it requires telling the truth about Islam. At a conference last month, Prime Minister David Cameron, who is a big part of the problem, he is as big a Muslim apologist as is the Obamanator in the United States, announced that parents in England and Wales would face prosecution if they failed to stop their daughters undergoing female genital mutilation. You moron. The daughters aren't choosing this. The daughters aren't going out and saying, gee, I think what I'm going to do today is have my genitals mutilated. It's not that the parents aren't stopping their daughters, you moron. The mothers are doing it. It's the parents that are doing it. You absolute idiot. What an ignoramus. Speaking of female genital mutilation, this is from the same article that Scott sent. It includes the partial or total removal of the female external genitalia or other injury to the female genitalia organs for non-medical reasons. It's to make certain that the girl can find absolute no pleasure in sexual intercourse. It also means that the girl cannot be stimulated in any way. And that many times they sew the vagina shut so that she can't engage in any sex, and that the marriage night when she's sold off to some Muslim scumbag, she's ripped apart. It's practiced in 29 countries in Africa, the Middle East, and in Asia. All those countries are Islamic. 29 countries. There are some 40 Muslim-majority countries in the world? Three-quarters of them endorse, practice female genital mutilation. An estimated 3 million girls worldwide are mutilated each year. A minimum of 125 million, and I've read estimates of as high as 250 million women today, continue to endure the consequence of having their genitals mutilated. It is commonly carried out on very young girls, often between infancy and the age of 15. We'll continue this review of one of the most appalling aspects of Islam when we continue. You may want to tune in if you're Ben Affleck. This is a bullet point from the BBC on female genital mutilation. Provides a lot of information, except the only vital information. It goes on to say that it's commonly carried out on very young girls, often between infancy and the age of 15. It's often motivated by beliefs about what's considered proper sexual behavior to prepare a woman for adulthood and marriage and to ensure pure femininity. Yeah, to ensure pure femininity by making certain that she can find absolutely no pleasure in sex.
Whatever do they mean by beliefs?
What do you think they mean? Yeah, what do they mean by belief? And what do they mean by proper sexual behavior? To have a belief system that is advocating that proper sexual behavior is to mutilate little girls' genitalia by their mothers.
Why not define that?
This BBC journalist could write that and say, wait a minute, you can't ask me to write that. That's stupid.
Well, what beliefs I want, by that statement, I want to know what beliefs. What beliefs do you have to have?
What's your religion? Do all of the countries have in common where female genital mutilation is practiced? What do they have in common? Oh, they're all Islamic. What do these little girls all have in common? Their mothers are Muslims.
Exactly. Use the truth. Tell the truth. Don't just say beliefs. Define their beliefs. Tell me what beliefs it is.
Hmm. Yeah, I'd say that that's no mention of Islam anywhere in the article. Dangers include severe bleeding, problems urinating, infections, infertility, and increased risk of newborn deaths in childbirth. Oh, so it has a lot of really nice side effects. The consequences are you bleed to death, you can't urinate, you get infected, you become infertile, and when you engage in childbirth, your child or you dies. What a helpful idea. In December of 2012, the UN General Assembly approved a resolution calling for all member states to ban the practice. And yet, they didn't. I'm hoping we still are connected here. I have lost my internet. Okay, well, that's good. The computer that I was using just went total blue screen of death here. There are very few things that I think should be considered today that are more important than understanding the connection between Islam and female genital mutilation, whether the number is 125 million or 250 million. The fact that now for the first time ever, in a non-Islamic majority country, we're actually seeing the statistics where the number of little girls who were mutilated by their mothers in 1 month in England alone that required hospitalization was between 400 and 500. And the total number that of confirmed reports of little girls mutilated by their Muslim mothers in the UK in 1 month was 1,700. We should be outraged. If you're a feminist, you ought to be outraged. If you are a liberal and you advocate women's rights, you ought to be outraged. The cause of this is Islam. No Islam, no female genital mutilation. 100% of the motivation here is religious. It's Islam. And while I personally view pedophilia as the single worst crime that an individual can perpetrate, and that rape would be the second worst, and I understand that often in pedophilia, rape is a part of pedophilia. I understand those things. But I'm going to tell you that I'm wrong. There is something worse than pedophilia. There is a crime worse than rape. I would go so far as to tell you there is a crime worse than murder. And that crime is when a mother sexually mutilates her daughter. Imagine trying to grow up in a family where your mother tied you down and mutilated your genitals. I mean, talk about betrayal. Talk about disgust. You know, I read a article just the other day that was on this woman, CNN, is going out of their way because of all of the bad news on the Islamic State and them abducting little girls and selling them off as sex slaves, that CNN is desperate to present a favorable impression of Islam. So they had this woman who grew up in New York who claimed to be a feminist, and she wrote an article that CNN published on why, as a feminist, she became a Muslim. And to pick the one moron out of a million of somebody that converted by choice to Islam because they were a complete and total ignoramus. And you say, and you don't refute it. You allow this woman to say, oh, Islam, you know, is so liberating when in the most fundamentalist Islamic country, which would be Saudi Arabia, a woman can't even walk out of the house without the man who is responsible for her, whether it be her husband or her father. Can't even walk out of the house. That in Islamic countries, women have to wear tents. That in an Islamic country, a woman is by the Quran's definition, worth half of a man. Where you have a religion where in the farewell sermon, the lone founder of that religion tells men it's okay to beat your wives, to imprison them, to starve them to death. Where the lone founder of the religion was engaged in multiple rapes, where he was a pedophile. But folks, as bad as Muhammad was, we don't have any evidence that he mutilated little girls. He mutilated men, to be sure. Cut off their heads, cut off their arms, cut off their legs, tormented them, gloated over tormenting them and mutilating them. Now, Muhammad never had children of his own. Not really. That's part of his pathetic nature. But think about that. What is worse than a mother mutilating her own daughter in the name of a religion and growing up that way? And knowing that if you rebel, that if you say, the girl now reaches 18 years old and she says, you know, I'm going to go off to school and I don't want to be part of a religion where mothers mutilate their daughters. I don't want to be part of a religion where the founder of that religion was a rapist and a pedophile. If she were to make that decision and make that statement, she'd be hunted down and killed by her own parents. They would take her life and be ordered to do so because of the Quran. Somewhere along the road here, folks, we've got to deal with the fact that Islam is the motherlode of bad ideas. That is much more infectious than is Ebola. That it kills vastly more people than does Ebola. That it's vastly more destructive. Vastly more deadly. And we need to deal with the truth. I know the truth doesn't sound good. I know that people don't want to hear it. I know that it's difficult for you to process the fact that the world's second most popular religion is this perverted, this grotesque, this immoral, this deceitful, this deadly, this absolutely useless and counterproductive. But it's true. And you sense it. You look at what's happening around the world and you recognize that 99% of all terrorist acts are perpetrated by Muslims. You look at the wars in the world and see that the vast majority of them are Muslims killing Muslims. You read the headlines and find that Muslims are selling off little girls as sex slaves. You see the decapitations being perpetrated in the name of Islam. You look at the countries where Islam is the majority and how backward they are. You see women walking around in tents with no rights. And you know it's true. Embrace the truth. Go where the words lead. Shed your ignorance. Instead of pretending to be politically correct and being a Ben Afflecker and advocating on behalf of this despicable, dehumanizing religion, this deadly foe to humankind, read the first 9 surahs of the Quran. Process the information. Go to prophetofdoom.net. Read it. It's the most comprehensive, the best documented, the best contextual and chronological presentation of Islam ever compiled. Shed your ignorance. For your sake. For the sake of those you love. And then speak out against the religion. Expose it. Condemn it. Realize that just as the only cure for Ebola is to quarantine those infected with it, do the same. Quarantine Islam. It's time that we call a religion that inspires the mutilation of little girls illegal. It's time that we call a religion which gives no rights to women illegal. It's time that we call a religion responsible for inspiring 99% of the world's terrorist acts illegal. There is no contribution from Islam to humankind. It is just a menace on this planet. Deadly, corrosive, a horrible plight. A horrible blight. Let's do the right thing. The Abominator, rather than struggling with the politics and policy of Islam, is doing so with Ebola. He is the second day in a row where he's put a travel ban on himself. After canceling his second day of travel to focus on the epidemic. By the way, Ebola is not an epidemic in America. Not an epidemic for Americans. It is an epidemic in three countries in the world. Like 200 countries in the world. There's three countries in the world where Ebola is an epidemic. Not an epidemic here. Mr. Obama addressed increased calls for a travel ban from the Oval Office. His team of health care and homeland security advisors huddled around, looking pensive and exhausted. Oh, boy, looking pensive. You know, I am so glad that I know how they looked. You know, I am sorry that 4,000 to 5,000 people have died of Ebola in Liberia and Sierra Leone and Guinea. It's really sad. It's sad that those countries had political systems and religious influences that completely destroyed them prior to the outbreak of Ebola. And that they were not prepared because their governments, their militaries, their healthcare systems were ill-equipped. It's really sad. Human institutions, complete and total failures. You know, they say, rely on us. You can trust us. And it didn't turn out to be trustworthy. Even in the United States, where he said the CDC and the medical facilities in Texas said, oh, trust us. We can take care of this. We'll contain it, no problem. It didn't turn out to be trustworthy. I'm saddened that human institutions aren't trustworthy and that people are needlessly dying. I'm also saddened that people are not recognizing that the most merciful thing to do with Ebola is to isolate, to quarantine those who are infected with it. That's how to cure this disease. I'm sorry that the world is focused on Ebola, a disease that's killed 4,500, when the most menacing disease on the planet, Islam, over the same period of time has killed more than 10 times, perhaps as many as 100 times, that number of people. The reason that IQ spoke of the Abominator wanting to impose martial law is because the option here that they're discussing is a travel ban. But the Abominator, see, is doing exactly the opposite. He's sending Americans to Liberia forcibly. He didn't ask for volunteers. No, he's sending the military. Command and control. They have no free will. 4,000 American military personnel, either en route or already in the hot zone for Ebola. And, of course, they'll come back. So the Abominator can't have a travel ban because, well, he's traveling, sending people to Ebola, to the Ebola site. And Americans, when they get ill from Ebola, come back to America. We send them in by a plane load every day. You're just not being told how many people are being taken out of Liberia by plane loads and brought to America. Your country doesn't want you to know. But it's almost as if they want more people affected and infected so that they can pursue even more restrictions on your liberties. The Abominator said yesterday, I don't have a philosophical objection necessarily to a travel ban, if that's the thing that's going to keep Americans safe. Now, a travel ban that restricts travel to anywhere and from anywhere except Liberia and Western African countries wouldn't make any sense. For example, all of the things that Americans have to endure to get on an airplane now, we shouldn't endure any of them. Simple question. Are you a Muslim? If you are, you can't fly. That's it. Be no acts of airline terrorism. Deny Allah if you want to fly. Simple. Muslims are perpetrating 99.9% of the world's terrorism and all airborne terrorism. We'll be back.